Welcome to Alpha Beta Launch, FinTech Founder Stories, a podcast presented by Scylla. I'm your host, Katie Bower, and today we have a very special guest, Olu Akinbayo. And Olu is one of the co-founders of Tropurial. And Olu, we are so blessed to have you on today.
Yay! It's really a huge privilege to be here. I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to have, you know, that lovely conversation. And thank you for having us here as well.
You are so welcome. Oh, we want to find out a little bit more about Tropurial and what you guys do specifically. Tell me a little bit about your company.
At Tropurial, we found a way to reduce the cost of sending money across borders. Right now, you could pay as high as $10, which is about 10% of $100. If you just want to send $100 from the US, say, to a sub-Saharan country, say Nigeria. And we realized that, you know, we could eliminate that $10 fee and even give you a good exchange rate such that you have more money and the person you're sending to have more money and you don't have to pay you don't have to pay so much more for transaction fees. And that's pretty much what we do. And we realized that this model has been in existence for a while, but what we done at Tropurial is we decided to build a product around the model, and we've grown from a small little company to where we are at today, where we've done about a volume of $5 million in the past 3 years.
And how did you guys get your start specifically? Tell me about the early alpha stage of all of it and how the concept first originated.
That is... thinking in retrospect now,
I heard something about Venmo. Venmo wasn't quite working the way you needed it to. And was that maybe the launch point?
Yeah. So Venmo actually had a part to play in this. Venmo had a part to play in this. But before we go to the Venmo point, I was an international student and I immigrated to the US in 2013. And when I was moving down, I had to sell everything. But unfortunately, my car wasn't able to find a new owner before I moved to the US. So I resumed school. My car was sold after I'd left. And I needed to get access to my money in Nigeria. And it became a huge tax. It was a pain point. First, there was a daily transaction limit. And then there was a high transaction fee. So for me to take, you know, to access the entire money, I had to go to the ATM about 10 times.
Oh, my
and,
word.
And I had to pay a transaction fee for each of those 10 times. And I was discussing my pain point. I think it was at the third run to the ATM. I was discussing the pain point with a friend. And he had a similar problem, but in reverse. So for him, he was trying to send money to his family back in Nigeria, and he had dollars. And he's like, he's trying to use the existing transaction platforms, but they were giving him unfavorable exchange rates. Huh. And they, you know, he also had to pay the transaction fees. So we said, you know what? Let's, you know, take out the institutions, let's trade between both of us. And we, you know, negotiated an exchange rate, and there was no transaction fee because all he had to do was to use Venmo to send me money in the US. And all I had to do was to go to my bank account and send him the Naira. And we completed the transaction, and it was easy. After that, you know, we realized that it was a problem among the international student community where it was hard to access money from home. And I became the connector. Like, I began connecting people.
Yeah.
And this is where Venmo came in. I moved to San Francisco. And one of the things that I loved in San Francisco was the payment system. My landlord told me to pay my rent using Venmo. Mm-hmm. And it was cool. You know, you're going out, you shared it right with a friend, you could like it. It was seamless. I was like, wow, I'm just paying, doing all of this. And then I had the idea, what about a Venmo with two currencies? And like a Venmo with the US dollar and the Great British pounds, or a Venmo with the US dollar and the Canadian dollar. such that I wouldn't need to have a Venmo in the US and an Interac in Canada, or a Venmo in the US and Monzo in London. And then he hit me like, what about a Venmo with the US dollar and Nigerian Naira, such that I could have my US wallet and my Nigerian wallet, and you know, I could use whichever I want to pay anyone. And that was when, you know, the idea actually came to be. And you know, at that point in time, I was a solo founder. I didn't have the technical, you know, skill set to get it up and running. And I remember I was in my room that day. I felt, okay, what can I do, seeing that I can't, you know, build this thing? Like, if I go to a bank, like, I need access to your gateway, they won't even pay attention to me.
Yeah.
Because I'm just a lone guy with just an idea. And I thought, what can I do? And I felt, you know what? I don't think I can, you know, convince the financial institutions to give me access to their gateways now. But what I can do is I can be a connector. And I had about 5 different friends who I knew always needed to exchange. So I decided to create a WhatsApp group. And I added 5 of my friends into the WhatsApp group.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, you know what, if you guys have dollars and you need a foreign currency, you could just trade amongst yourself. And by word of mouth, you know, the group has since grown to about 180 people.
Wow.
And we do an average of about $50,000 weekly. Wow. And we've done a sum total of about $5 million since we started. And this is all pair to pair, and, you know, using the existing payment system. So you find a trade, you connect to the person, you negotiate, you go to, you know, use the Zelle, Venmo, Cash App to make payments in the US, and you use the similar service on the other side to make those payments, and you're completing that transaction. And that is, you know, that is the journey for Trapera, just trying to solve a problem of the multi-currency wallets. And it's been an exciting journey. I've had times where I'm like, I want to quit, but I'm so glad that the success we've achieved so far is enough to motivate me to keep on going.
Yeah.
And, you know, seeing how people connect with the product, people use the product and even send us tips like thank you, you know. And I'm like, wow, that's interesting. I mean, there was a case we had recently where a father had his wife in the US and he was in Nigeria, and he was trying to pay for the hospital bills, and I really don't know why it was urgent or why he needed to pay as soon as possible. And the financial institution in Nigeria told him to take about 2 weeks for the money to arrive plus a transaction fee. And then, you know, he was introduced to Trapera, and in 2 days he was able to complete his transaction and was able to pay for his wife's hospital bills in the US. And he was so happy, and, you know, he sent me a message like, thank you. You really don't understand how you've helped me. Like, my bank told me 2 weeks, and Trapera did it in less than 2 days. And the good thing is there was no transaction fee. And on top of that, you know, they got a good deal. They saved a whole lot more than they would have gotten with the bank. And that's been our story so far.
Well, because you can choose your exchange rate, correct? I mean, you can choose peer-to-peer which one you ultimately want to go with.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I think that is what really makes us stand out. And that is what makes us unique, in the sense that you choose what you want, right? And of course, you know, there's the force of demand and supply, whereby when there's you know, a scarcity and you're not finding as much people to pair with, you know, that might force you to, you know, choose a less, you might lose a little bit more. But even at that, you're still getting it much more than you would have gotten if you used the the traditional system. And I'll give you an example using Nigeria, because that is, you know, where we know, and that is where we are building the first highway before we replicate the model in other countries. There is a wide gap between the primary market rate and the secondary market rate. And it is extremely difficult to get an exchange rate at the primary market rate. So an average person has to go to the secondary market rate to get his exchange currency. And even at that, it's expensive. So, and then say you have a user in the US who is trying to send money to his family members at home. Using the services, he has to use it at the primary market rate, which is low in comparison to what you can get in the secondary market rate. And you have a user who is in Nigeria and is trying to, you know, get pay his suppliers, or, you know, pay their child's school fees, or buy a dress on Amazon. And they want to get it at the primary market rate, but it is difficult to get it. And so what happens? Both of you come together and say, all right, the primary market rate is high, it's low, the secondary market rate is high. Let's meet at a midpoint. So anywhere you find yourself on that midpoint, you're getting more than you would have gotten if you use the traditional system. For the person sending the US dollars, you're probably getting about 20% more because you're a little bit above the primary market rate. And for the person who is, you know, buying the dollars off of you, they're saving a little bit more because they're not paying as expensive as what it is in the secondary market rate. They're paying a mid-market rate, and everyone is fine. Everyone is happy. You have more money in your pocket.
You talked about this idea that you came up with really based out of a necessity, a need for a cheaper alternative, and definitely a peer-to-peer aspect for that certainly helps. But what were the initial steps that you took to start executing this idea and actually turn it into a fintech company?
Yeah, so I think the very first thing that I did was using what I had within my environment to, you know, get the idea rolling. And that was as simple as creating a WhatsApp group.
Yeah.
Like, who would have thought about it? Just a WhatsApp group. And that was the very first thing. And, you know, getting to the point where we are at now, it was hard. I'm not even going to sugarcoat it. It was hard. Yeah. The first thing I did was I realized there were other smaller, you know, startups trying to do what I was doing. So I felt, since it is hard to, you know, find an inroad into the fintech industry, what about having a consortium? You know, let us all come together and build this product together. We started good, but unfortunately, the plane couldn't fly. And, you know, it was grounded. And I think one of the things that killed us was analysis paralysis. Mm-hmm. And we were trying to get it pitch perfect to move on. And as of then, I didn't even know how to get the team, like the development team, the product design team, the graphics design team. Like, I didn't know how to assemble that team. So the plane didn't fly. And then, you know, I felt this idea is not going to die. Remember, I created a WhatsApp group that was active, and I'm seeing people using this group. So I felt, and I knew if we didn't do anything, the product might die in the next 5 years. So I decided, all right, let's give it a shot again as a solo founder. I went out to look for a tech co-founder. And, you know, I got a tech co-founder. He has a full-fledged development consulting company. So he had the designers and everything we need. And we're meant to work together to build this product. And I was even willing to pay for the company, pay for the product to be released. But then it didn't work. And it didn't work in the sense that they were not meeting the deadlines. The product was meant to be launched. I remember I was trying to even have some MVP outs by my birthday in 2018, you know, with the buzz I'll be getting, everyone saying, hey, happy birthday. I was thinking, let me use that as a marketing opportunity for Trapero.
Yeah.
And they just kept missing the deadline. And after a while, the line went cold. And I was just, I was frustrated. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't even lie. I was frustrated. I wanted to quit. I really wanted to quit because it's like, I don't know how to move forward. And then, you know, and this was where myself and my co-founder met. And we were having a conversation once, and he was discussing about something he was doing at work. And I'm like, you know, we could work together in Trapero. We could fund Trapero ourselves, and we could split the cost so that if it fails, it's not only one person who, yeah, you know, bears the loss, and we stand a better chance of succeeding. And he was like, yeah, I'll think about it. And then, you know, he called me almost immediately and he said, yeah, let's do it.
Bosun Gidigbe is your co-founder.
Yeah, yeah,
that's
yeah, exactly.
Bosun Gidigbe. All this with you. Who was the next in line after him?
So after Bosun Gidigbe is the development team. I'm proud of that team.
Yeah.
If there's anything I'm particularly proud of, I'm proud of that team. And I'll be very honest, I wasn't expecting them to exceed my expectation when we got them on board, because they were just a group of undergraduates in college. And, you know, we were looking for, you know, the front-end developers, and we broke the task into two. And, you know, we reached out to the experts. I reached out to LinkedIn, different people in different countries. And it became clear that we couldn't afford, you know, most of the experts in different countries. So we had to, you know, change, you know, which regions can we afford these experts? We began interviewing for people for these roles, and something began to strike us. The experts were not willing to, they had impossible in their dictionary. Like, we say, okay, we're trying to do this. We're like, oh no, it's impossible. Google did it this way, and so therefore we have to do it that way. Or Andela did it this way, we have to do it that way. And I'm like, no.
Break the mold.
Like, it was hard because they were like, oh no, we cannot implement this design because Google has done it this way. We're not going to do that.
Yeah.
And then we got introduced to our current design team now, development team now. And we discussed the same problem with them. And at that point, they didn't know so much about the feature we're trying to build. It's the in-app chat feature we're trying to build. They didn't know so much about it. And we said, you know what, just take a week. And we told all developers, take a week, think about the problem, and, you know, let's see what you have after a week. And this college student, in 2 days, they went to Udemy. They studied how to, you know, implement the in-app chat features, and they had a demo ready for us. And that was what connected me to them.
Yeah.
It was the courage that they had to step out of the unknown.
Yeah.
And I felt it represents what we're doing, because with Trapero, we're in a territory that we know nothing about. Like, I'm not from the finance industry. And it's just the courage of moving one step at a time. I know I need to, it's a heavily regulated industry.
Yeah.
But that courage to step forward one day at a time. And I saw that courage, that same courage in this team. And I'm like, you know what? You don't have like that belt or wealth of experience, but I think we all can grow together as a team.
Yeah.
And I think that is the third best decision we made at Trapera. We want to build a culture where people are free, you know, to be radically candid, and they're free to express themselves, and they're just free to, you know, take on new challenges, like do it. And that has, that delights me. Yeah. I kid you not, my current team, that delights me, and I'm so proud of them.
Oh, I wanted to ask you, we were talking so much about money and saving people money by but through the process of exchange and peer-to-peer, but what about you guys? I mean, starting a company is no small task. How did you guys find the funds for this? Was it personally paid for by you and your co-founder, or did you guys have to go through some sort of crowdsourced fundraising process? What was that like?
We started out by funding it ourselves. You know, and even when Bosso and I decided to go on this journey, we decided, you know what, together, you know, we could form a synergy. 1 + 1 = 3 and not 2. And that was how we started out the journey. And that has gotten us to this point where we are currently in our pre-seed stage, where, you know, we're looking for that capital to move as fast as we would like to move into the market. We need to accelerate, you know, our development, and we need to accelerate how we begin to onboard the customers and, you know, even move our current user base onto the web app that we've built. Recently, we got the privilege to pitch Trapera to the former Prime Minister of Haiti. He didn't cut a check, but
I was not expecting you to say that. When that conversation started, I was not expecting it to go down that road.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't cut a check, but it informed us that we're doing something of value here, and we gradually getting that audience of the venture capital community. And we really want to take full advantage of it, you know, to get there. And even earlier today, some of my friends, you know, sent me a message like, hey, we want to, let us know once you're ready. We're ready to go into Trapera's pre-seed. And I'm like, all right, sure, bet. I'm definitely going to let you know about that. And one thing, you know, one thing that I realized is I had a lot of self-doubt, such that we funded our product up to this stage by ourselves because we didn't think anyone would believe what we're doing or would even want to listen to us. Mm-hmm. So for most companies within our stage, we already have a product. We have a full-fledged product that can onboard a user, and it was fully funded by the co-founders, like no external funding. And in comparison to most others is, you know, you have an idea, you go look for someone, you know, to give you the capital, and you get the capital and you start building. No, we have our MVP and a full-fledged product all funded by ourselves. It got me exposing myself, putting myself out there, talking to people, even taking advantage of Clubhouse, talking about Trapera, pitching Trapera on Clubhouse to different founders to different VCs, and meeting people, exposing myself, that I realized that we're doing something good out here. And if we have the right strategy and we tell the right story, we would definitely move the needle, whereby we'll be cutting our first $1 million capital check.
How do you do that, Olu? Do you just swallow your fear? I mean, do you just jump right in and take that next step? I mean, you're talking about kind of that fear of being vulnerable and putting an idea out that you really care about, that you've really invested a lot of time and thought process into, and being, you're talking about being worried about how people might respond to that. How do you take that next step? I mean, there's going to be other entrepreneurs that want to know, what did you do? Because I need to do that too.
I kept thinking, how am I going to connect to potential users who can take advantage of this product? Mm-hmm. And I went in the shower and I was thinking about the problem. And I'm like, oh, wait, there's this product called Clubhouse that everyone has been raving about on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And the demographics of people that have been talking about it are the demographics we're trying to connect with. And I felt I'm going to have a talk show on Twitter on Clubhouse. And let's talk about remittance, fintech, and see if we could connect to people. And it was scary, you know, thinking, what is my voice going to sound like? How am I going to put myself out there? Will anyone listen to me?
Yeah.
And I just did it. And in no time, the room was, you know, busting to like 5, 10, 12, 20. I'm like, okay. I mean, we didn't hit 100, yeah, but we caught the attention of about 50 people. That was, you know, the initial courage that we had. And then so after that, I began listening in rooms, particularly even on Clubhouse, where people were pitching their product. I want to say it was a leap of faith and say, I'm going to go out there and, you know, speak. And interestingly, I learned a lesson. First off, just do it, like Nike, like, just do it. Second off, I realized that I needed to tell the right story. I needed to convince people. I needed to understand my audience. And I realized that all this while I've been focusing on the development, you know, ask me something about the development. I've been managing the product, but I've not really focused on the brand. More specifically, focus on the right story I want to tell the investors. And, you know, that kind of identifying that singular problem forced me into that process where I began to read and research and, you know, telling the right story, you know, to a user. They want to know the amount of money they're going to save, and to an investor, you want to see where we are going to in the future. And just telling the right story, that is like the most important thing,
yeah,
to secure the fund. I mean, the product could tell the story as well. And in our own case, that we're just, you know, moving out of the gate, we already have the product telling the story. But as the co-founders, we need to craft that right story.
Yeah.
And hopefully, before the year runs out, we probably will be celebrating our check.
Were there any other pitfalls that you guys kind of stumbled across that you might want to point out that could help other people that are going down a similar road in the fintech industry?
First off, the fintech industry is a heavily regulated industry. It's heavily regulated. One of the, you know, major pitfalls that I would say we should try to avoid is, you know, being on the right side of the law, right? Yeah. And finding a way, or even if it's getting, as a fintech startup, I think it might be valuable to consider having a fintech lawyer partner or co-founder or something of sorts on your board. That will make it a lot easier to tidy up the regulatory aspect of it. I think I would really, you know, want to emphasize on, you know, the process of building a team.
Yeah.
And I think that is like the most significant, you know, process, where it may be valuable to try and break the task into, yeah, simpler task, and use, you know, the experts within your resources to build each of those simpler tasks. You know, the first two times we were trying to do this, you know, we had one holistic team working on it. You know, the first technical co-founder I was trying to establish a relationship with had a full suit, and it was just the one working on that. The second one, you know, they were just working on that, and it wasn't working. And because we didn't have the fund, the capital to, you know, hire a full-fledged engineer working in Google to say, hey, you're going to man this, you know, we had to break those tasks into smaller pieces.
I want to know how Scylla made that process easier for you guys. What was that initial point where you're like, we need help? And how did Scylla provide that for you?
Scylla Money was a game changer for us
really?
In its entirety, because at the point where we engaged with Scylla Money, all we had was just a peer-to-peer trading floor whereby we're just connecting people, and we're still fine-tuning our revenue generating model. But on finding out about Sila Money and finding out that first we have that opportunity to grow with Sila Money, and also we have the protection from the regulatory compliance standpoint with Sila Money, we knew that, all right, this is, we should move to our next product right away, which is the multi-currency wallet system. And what Sila Money has helped us to achieve is truly quantify or identify what we're doing. You know, Tropeiro is not the traditional international money transfer organization that is sending money from the US to the UK or to Nigeria. The money is local here in the US.
Yeah.
I'm just sending you a Zelle from one account to the other account. With Sila Money, each user has a wallet, and it's just like Venmo. It's literally, it's simply put, it's just Venmo on the Nigerians, on the US side. And so with Sila Money, we got that right categorization for our business. And following the regulatory compliance for Sila has also helped us to be on the right side of the law. Even just shortly before I came to this call, I received a message from Brooke, you know, talking about refunds and trying to ensure that it's within a particular threshold, and you know, we're giving the best practices guide. Just following that process in itself also ensures that one, we are not violating any ACH laws that that relates to refunds. And also, you know, simply put, the heavy lifting has been done for us. And that is it. Sila Money did the heavy lifting for us, and it gave us more time to focus on what we're passionate about, and that is helping people send money across the world and saving as much money as possible, and you know, putting more money in people's hands.
I mean, it really involves the currency exchange rate. So your dream customer, I imagine, is people that are sending funds to or from the US into a different country where the currency is different, correct?
We're just getting started.
Yeah.
We're just getting started.
But maybe it goes beyond that down the road.
Yeah, I mean, we're just getting started. And this is our inroad into the market. And right now, we are giving people in the US, we hope to give people in the US access to non-traditional currencies in the future. So take, for example, you want to go on a vacation where do you want to go to a vacation?
I want to go to Belize. Let's go.
You want to go to Belize.
That's
and,
what I want to do.
You know, you're like, I want to go to Belize. What do I need to go to get down to Belize? And you realize that I don't want to, you know, take my money along with me, right? So you're in the US, you're on Tropeiro, you have your Tropeiro wallet. And once you get to Belize, you just create a Belizean wallet and I have access to the Belizean dollars.
This is fascinating. What do I have to do then? Do I use my phone to pay directly from my phone? Do I need to take it somewhere once I'm in Belize and then get that where I can pick up my funds, or what happens once I get to Belize?
So now, and this is mind blowing. And I actually wish Boston was here to even discuss this in details, but we could give you a virtual card. Mm-hmm. You could have a virtual card, like you have Apple Card is in your phone, and we could give you a virtual card that you could use in Belize and have access to your money. And your money, and you're getting a good exchange rate. Mm-hmm. You're not paying excess transaction fees because all your payments are just within the US, and you're in Belize and spending the Belizean dollars.
I'm very excited to go to Belize now.
yeah. Hopefully Tropeiro will take you to Belize and, you know, you spend the Tropeiro wallet.
I was reading somewhere that you're saving people typically about from like 12% down to 6%, or maybe that's just the goal.
Wow, don't get me started. So according to the World Bank, it costs about 9% to send money to sub-Saharan Africa,
okay,
according to World Bank. And if, you know, that is for every $100 you send into sub-Saharan Africa, people pay $9 in transaction fees.
Wow.
And that's a lot. And, you know, and we did the numbers and we realized that just that, and the global average is around 6%. Just the difference between the 9% and 6% comes up to about $120 million. You could imagine what that money would do in the economies of these sub-Saharan African countries. And to put it even in perspective, the UN sends less than that. I think the UN sends less than about $2 million within the region. So just saving $120 million could have a significant impact on the countries within that region. That's but this amazing. Is the good part. This is the good part.
That was the good part. Now you're going to say something better?
Yeah, there's something better. That is, you know, at 9% to 6%.
Wow.
But at Tropera, we found a way to make it less than 1%.
How?
That's a good question. Sila.
Unbelievable.
Sila money is there. Like, you know, by the time we do the numbers of sending money from my account to your account, mm-hmm. and the same cost of sending money using a similar sealer in a different country from one account to the other, you're paying less than 1% of the amount you're sending. Take, for example, right now, if you're going to receive Venmo from me, you pay nothing. It's $0.
Yeah.
$0. And you're using the same service in Nigeria, $0. But we can't build Tropera on that system because it exposes us to the risk of people losing their money. Mm-hmm. And with Sila money coming in there, we have a better control and in ensuring all payments are made and reducing the chance or exposing ourselves to fraud. And we are charging a fee, which is going to be 1% of what you're sending. And that is about 5 points lesser than the global average and 9 times lesser than the current rate. And that is what we're trying to do. We're definitely going to save you more money.
I feel like this is a game changer. Like, I feel like we're talking about percentage rates and money with Sila stepping in and helping you guys. I feel like we're talking about saving people money that can change lives. Is that an overstatement? I mean, we're talking about a lot of money that people need, and you're providing a way for them to send those funds to loved ones, but without, dare I say, breaking the bank in the process.
We're saving people a whole lot of money. Like some sub-Saharan African economies, their entire GDP is shy of $120 million. And you could imagine we putting just that extra money to those economies. And we're building this highway whereby, what was it called? We're connecting people. You know, the world is a global village. We're making it even a global village, where you could have your team sitting anywhere in the world and your team will do just fine. Remember I told you Sila money was a game changer for us?
Yeah.
Yeah. And right now we have a web app that is mm-hmm. ready to go just for the peer-to-peer trading, and okay. users who still have to use third-party payment system to complete their transactions. But once we go into that partnership with Sila, we found out that this was our opportunity to build our multi-currency wallet and to hit the market with a bang with that wallet. So we plan to get into the market with a bang with Sila money, you know, backing us.
What would you say to other entrepreneurs who are who were you a couple of years ago? What would you say? Is it the message of, you just got to dive in, or is it, don't sweat the small stuff? And what would you say to someone who is just like, I've got this idea, but it's only up here right now. How do I take this to fruition? What would that advice be?
Start with what you have. What you have might just be a pen and paper. Write the idea on paper, write it out. Like, okay, this is what I'm trying to do. Start with what you have. It could be you started out of starting a Facebook group.
Yeah.
To, test out the idea. Start with what you have. That might just be the community of beta testers you would meet. You could meet other people who would encourage you, down the road. Like, don't wait for the perfect moments where you have everything in place. It's a journey. It's a marathon, right? And it's just one step after another. Start with what you have. And one thing that most likely would, kill that dream as quickly as possible is analysis paralysis.
Yeah.
I do not think Tropera would be where we are today if we didn't have the WhatsApp group. Because you could see the WhatsApp group is growing. I'm getting to talk to each and every one of these people. I'm seeing how their light pops up, their eyes pops open when they realize that this is what you're doing. Guess what? Just today, there's a co-founder for a well-managed brand company that is on Tropera. And he's been on Tropera since. And like, this is like, we realize that we're even building a community of successful people in the industry, different people. We have bank executives, mm-hmm. entrepreneur, like saying, hey, we want you to use our wallet system for your currency integration in sub-Saharan Africa. And I wouldn't have gotten those relationships if I didn't have a WhatsApp group. Yes, the WhatsApp group was just only me in it. And then it grew to 5, and then it grew to 20, and then it grew to 100. And I feel, we're at 100. And now we're busting through the same side, 180. And different people from different walks of life are within that particular group. And it's like a trusted social networks.
Yeah.
And you realize that beyond even having access to non-traditional currencies, people are building relationships. To bring it back home is start with what you have and avoid analysis paralysis as much as possible and celebrate those little wins. And it's a marathon, one step at a time.
Well, Oli, it was such a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you for your time as well.
You are so welcome. Thanks for listening to Alpha Beta Launch FinTech Founder Stories presented by Scylla. I'm your host, Katie Bauer. Hey, if you enjoyed this conversation, be sure to check out all our episodes, rate, share, and subscribe to the show.